Chapter 15. Jesus' Example in Prayer. Follow Jesus' example by starting the day with prayer. It was in hours of solitary prayer that Jesus, in his earth life, received wisdom and power. Let the youth follow his example in finding at dawn and twilight a quiet season for communion with their Father in heaven. And throughout the day, let them lift up their hearts to God. At every step of our way, he says, I, the Lord thy God, will hold thy right hand. Fear not, I will help thee. Isaiah 41, verse 13. Could our children learn these lessons in the morning of their years, what freshness and power, what joy and sweetness would be brought into their lives? Education 259. The earnest prayers of Jesus contrast with our feeble prayers. Of Christ it is said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. In what contrast to this intercession by the majesty of heaven are the feeble, heartless prayers that are offered to God? Many are content with lip service, and but few have a sincere, earnest, affectionate longing after God. Testimonies for the Church, 4, 534. If Jesus needed to pray while on earth, how much more should we? When Jesus was upon the earth, he taught his disciples how to pray. He directed them to present their daily needs before God and to cast all their care upon him. And the assurance he gave them that their petitions should be heard is assurance also to us. Jesus himself, while he dwelt among men, was often in prayer. Our Savior identified himself with our needs and weakness in that he became a suppliant, a petitioner, seeking from his Father fresh supplies of strength that he might come forth braced for duty and trial. He is our example in all things. He is a brother in our infirmities, in all points tempted like as we are. But as the sinless one, his nature recoiled from evil. He endured struggles and torture of soul in a world of sin. His humanity made prayer a necessity and a privilege. He found comfort and joy in communion with his Father. And if the Savior of men, the Son of God, felt the need of prayer, how much more should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of fervent, constant prayer? Steps to Christ, 93-94. Christ wrestled in earnest prayer. He offered up his supplications to the Father with strong crying and tears in behalf of those for whose salvation he had left heaven and had come to this earth. Then how proper, yea, how essential, that men should pray and not faint. The Review and Herald, April 1, 1890. Jesus prayed for strength to endure trials. Few will follow the example of our Savior in earnest, frequent prayer to God for strength to endure the trials and to perform the daily duties of this life. Christ is the captain of our salvation, and by his own sufferings and sacrifice has given an example to all his followers that watchfulness and prayer and persevering effort were necessary on their part if they would rightly represent the love which dwelt in his bosom for the fallen race. The Review and Herald, February 23, 1886. Jesus' strength came from prayer. The strength of Christ was in prayer. He had taken humanity, and he bore our infirmities and became sin for us. Christ retired to the groves or mountains with the world and everything else shut out. He was alone with his Father. With intense earnestness, he poured out his supplications and put forth all the strength of his soul in grasping the hand of the Infinite. When new and great trials were before him, he would steal away to the solitude of the mountains and pass the entire night in prayer to his Heavenly Father. As Christ is our example in all things, if we imitate his example in earnest, importunate prayer to God, that we may have strength in his name, who never yielded to the temptations of Satan to resist the devices of the wily foe, we shall not be overcome by him. The Youth's Instructor, April 1, 1873. In a life wholly devoted to the good of others, the Savior found it necessary to withdraw from the thoroughfares of travel and from the throng that followed him day after day. He must turn aside from a life of ceaseless activity and contact with human needs to seek retirement and unbroken communion with his Father. As one with us, a sharer in our needs and weaknesses, he was wholly dependent upon God, and in the secret place of prayer he sought divine strength that he might go forth braced for duty and trial. In a world of sin, Jesus endured struggles and torture of soul. In communion with God, he could unburden the sorrows that were crushing him. Here he found comfort and joy. In Christ, the cry of humanity reached the Father of infinite pity. As a man, he supplicated the throne of God till his humanity was charged with a heavenly current that should connect humanity with divinity. Through continual communion, he received life from God that he might impart life to the world. His experience is to be ours.
Come ye yourselves apart, he bids us. If we would give heed to his word, we should be stronger and more useful. The disciples sought Jesus and told him all things, and he encouraged and instructed them. If today we would take time to go to Jesus and tell him our needs, we should not be disappointed. The Desire of Ages, 362-363. The man of sorrows pours out his supplications with strong crying and tears. He prays for strength to endure the test in behalf of humanity. He must himself gain a fresh hold on omnipotence, for only thus can he contemplate the future. And he pours out his heart longings for his disciples, that in the hour of the power of darkness their faith may not fail. The dew is heavy upon his bowed form, but he heeds it not. The shadows of night gather thickly about him, but he regards not their gloom. The Desire of Ages, 419-420. When Jesus entered the wilderness, he was shut in by the Father's glory. Absorbed in communion with God, he was lifted above human weakness. But the glory departed, and he was left to battle with temptation. It was pressing upon him every moment. His human nature shrank from the conflict that awaited him. For 40 days he fasted and prayed. Weak and emaciated from hunger, worn and haggard with mental agony, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. Isaiah 52, verse 14. Now was Satan's opportunity. Now he supposed that he could overcome Christ. Selected Messages 1:227-228. To the consecrated worker, there is wonderful consolation in the knowledge that even Christ, during his life on earth, sought his Father daily for fresh supplies of needed grace. And from this communion with God, he went forth to strengthen and bless others. Behold the Son of God bowed in prayer to his Father. Though he is the Son of God, he strengthens his faith by prayer, and by communion with heaven gathers to himself power to resist evil and to minister to the needs of men. As the elder brother of our race, he knows the necessities of those who, compassed with infirmity and living in a world of sin and temptation, still desire to serve him. He knows that the messengers whom he sees fit to send are weak, erring men. But to all who give themselves wholly to his service, he promises divine aid. His own example is an assurance that earnest, persevering supplication to God in faith, faith that leads to entire dependence upon God, and unreserved consecration to his work, will avail to bring to men the Holy Spirit's aid in the battle against sin. Every worker who follows the example of Christ will be prepared to receive and use the power that God has promised to His church for the ripening of earth's harvest. Morning by morning, as the heralds of the gospel kneel before the Lord and renew their vows of consecration to Him, He will grant them the presence of His Spirit with its reviving, sanctifying power. As they go forth to the day's duties, they have the assurance that the unseen agency of the Holy Spirit enables them to be laborers together with God. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. Gospel Workers 510-511. Prayer strengthened Jesus for trials. Christ our Savior was tempted in all points like as we are, yet He was without sin. He took human nature, being made in fashion as a man, and His necessities were the necessities of a man. He had bodily wants to be supplied, bodily weariness to be relieved. It was by prayer to His Father that He was braced for duty and for trial. Day by day He followed His round of duty, seeking to save souls. And He spent whole nights in prayer in behalf of the tempted ones. The night seasons of prayer which the Savior spent in the mountain or in the desert were essential to prepare Him for the trials He must meet in the days to follow. He felt the need of the refreshing and invigorating of soul and body, that He might meet the temptations of Satan, and those who are striving to live His life will feel this same need. Maranatha 85. While Jerusalem was hushed in silence, and the disciples had returned to their homes to obtain refreshment in sleep, Jesus slept not. His divine pleadings were ascending to His Father for His disciples, that they might be kept from the evil influences which they would daily encounter in the world, and that His own soul might be strengthened and braced for the duties and trials of the coming day. The Review and Herald, August 17, 1886. Prayer Rejuvenated. Jesus, His days were passed in ministry to the crowds that pressed upon Him, and in unveiling the treacherous sophistry of the rabbis, and this incessant labor often left Him so utterly wearied that His mother and brothers, and even His disciples, had feared that His life would be sacrificed. But as He returned from the hours of prayer that closed the toilsome day, they marked the look of peace upon His face, the sense of refreshment that seemed to pervade His presence. It was from hours spent with God that He came forth, morning by morning, to bring the light of heaven to men. Prayer sustained Jesus' spiritual life. It was not on the cross only that Christ sacrificed Himself for humanity. As He went about doing good, every day's experience was an outpouring of His life. In one way only could such a life be sustained. Jesus lived in dependence upon God and communion with Him. To the secret place of the Most High, under the shadow of the Almighty, men now and then repair. They abide for a season, and the result is manifest in noble deeds. Then their faith fails, the communion is interrupted, and the life work marred. But the life of Jesus was a life of constant trust, sustained by continual communion, and His service for heaven and earth was without failure or faltering. As a man, He supplicated the throne of God, till His humanity was charged with a heavenly current that connected humanity with divinity. Receiving life from God, He imparted life to men. Jesus' prayer life reveals the secret of spiritual power. The Savior's life on earth was a life of communion with nature and with God. In this communion, He revealed for us the secret of a life of power. Jesus prayed in preparation for special tasks. Jesus, when preparing for some great trial or some important work, would resort to the solitude of the mountains and spend the night in prayer to his Father. A night of prayer preceded the ordination of the apostles and the Sermon on the Mount, the Transfiguration, the agony of the judgment hall and the cross, and the resurrection glory. We too must have times set apart for meditation and prayer and for receiving spiritual refreshing. We do not value the power and efficacy of prayer as we should. Jesus's humanity made prayer a necessity. As the human was upon him, he felt his need of strength from his Father. He had select places of prayer. He loved to hold communion with his Father in the solitude of the mountain. In this exercise, his holy human soul was strengthened for the duties and trials of the day. Our Savior identifies himself with our needs and weaknesses in that he became a suppliant, a nightly petitioner, seeking from his Father fresh supplies of strength to come forth invigorated and refreshed, braced for duty and trial. He is our example in all things. He is a brother in our infirmities, but not in possessing like passions. As the sinless one, his nature recoiled from evil. He endured struggles and torture of soul in a world of sin. His humanity made prayer a necessity and privilege. He required all the stronger divine support and comfort which his Father was ready to impart to him who had, for the benefit of man, left the joys of heaven and chosen his home in a cold and thankless world. Christ found comfort and joy in communion with his Father. Here he could unburden his heart of the sorrows that were crushing him. He was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Through the day he labored earnestly to do good to others, to save men from destruction. He healed the sick, comforted the mourning, and brought cheerfulness and hope to the despairing. He brought the dead to life. After his work was finished for the day, he went forth, evening after evening, away from the confusion of the city, and his form was bowed in some retired grove in supplication to his Father. At times, the bright beams of the moon shone upon his bowed form. And then again, the clouds and darkness shut away all light. The dew and frost of night rested upon his head and beard while in the attitude of a suppliant. He frequently continued his petitions through the entire night. He is our example. If we could remember this and imitate him, we would be much stronger in God. If the Savior of men, with his divine strength, felt the need of prayer, how much more should feeble, sinful mortals feel the necessity of prayer, fervent, constant prayer? When Christ was the most fiercely beset by temptation, he ate nothing. He committed himself to God and, through earnest prayer and perfect submission to the will of his Father, came off conqueror. Those who profess the truth for these last days, above every other class of professed Christians, should imitate the great exemplar in prayer. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master, and the servant as his Lord. Our tables are frequently spread with luxuries neither healthful nor necessary, because we love these things more than we love self-denial, freedom from disease, and soundness of mind. Jesus sought earnestly for strength from his Father. This the divine Son of God considered of more value, even for himself, than to sit at the most luxurious table. He has given us evidence that prayer is essential in order to receive strength to contend with the powers of darkness and to do the work allotted us. Our own strength is weakness, but that which God gives is mighty and will make everyone who obtains it more than conqueror. Testimonies for the Church, 2:201-203. Jesus took time for prayer, no matter how busy or weary. Christ gave no stinted service. He did not measure his work by hours. His time, his heart, his soul, and strength were given to labor for the benefit of humanity. Through weary days he toiled, and through long nights he bent in prayer for grace and endurance, that he might do a larger work. With strong crying and tears he sent his petitions to heaven, that his human nature might be strengthened, that he might be braced to meet the wily foe in all his deceptive workings, and fortified to fulfill his missions of uplifting humanity. To his workers he says, "I have given you an example, that ye should do as I have done." John 13, verse 15. Ministry of Healing, 500. Jesus prayed early in the morning. The early morning often found him in some secluded place, meditating, searching the scriptures, or in prayer. With the voice of singing, he welcomed the morning light. With songs of thanksgiving, he cheered his hours and brought heaven's gladness to the toil-worn and disheartened. Counsels on Health, 162. Jesus had specific places for prayer. Have a place for secret prayer. Jesus had select places for communion with God, and so should we. We need often to retire to some spot, however humble, where we can be alone with God. Thoughts from the Mount of Blessing, 84. Jesus prayed on our account. Jesus was often weary from incessant toil and self-denial and self-sacrifice to bless the suffering and needy. He spent whole nights in prayer upon the lonely mountains, not because of his weakness and his necessities, but because he saw, he felt, the weakness of your natures to resist the temptations of the enemy upon the very points where you are now overcome. He knew that you would be indifferent in regard to your dangers and would not feel your need of prayer. It was on our account that he poured out his prayers to his Father with strong cries and tears. Testimonies for the Church, 3, 379. Jesus' disciples were impressed by his prayer habits. The Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Not for himself, but for others, he lived and thought and prayed. From hours spent with God, he came forth morning by morning to bring the light of heaven to men. Daily he received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. In the early hours of the new day, the Lord awakened him from his slumbers, and his soul and his lips were anointed with grace, that he might impart to others. His words were given him fresh from the heavenly courts, words that he might speak in season to the weary and oppressed. "The Lord God hath given me," he said, "the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned." Christ's disciples were much impressed by his prayers and by his habit of communion with God. One day, after a short absence from their Lord, they found him absorbed in supplication. Seemingly unconscious of their presence, he continued praying aloud. The hearts of the disciples were deeply moved. As he ceased praying, they exclaimed, "Lord, teach us to pray." The Review and Herald, August 11, 1910. The Lord's Prayer exhibits beauty in simplicity. Jesus taught his disciples that only that prayer which arises from unfeigned lips, prompted by the actual wants of the soul, is genuine and will bring heaven's blessing to the petitioner. He gave a brief, comprehensive prayer to his disciples. This prayer, for its beautiful simplicity, is without a parallel. It is a perfect prayer for public and private life. It is dignified and elevated, yet so simple that the child at its mother's knee can understand it. The children of God have repeated this prayer for centuries, and yet its luster has not dimmed. Like a gem of value, it continues to be loved and cherished. This prayer is a wonderful production. None will pray in vain if in their prayers are incorporated the principles contained therein. Our prayers in public should be short and express only the real wants of the soul, asking in simplicity and simple trusting faith for the very things we need. Prayer from the humble, contrite heart is the vital breath of the soul hungering for righteousness. The Signs of the Times, December 3, 1896. Jesus knelt when he prayed, both in public and in private worship. It is our privilege to bow on our knees before the Lord when we offer our petitions to him. Jesus, our example, kneeled down and prayed. Of his disciples, it is recorded that they too kneeled down and prayed. Paul declared, "I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." In confessing before God the sins of Israel, Ezra knelt. Daniel kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God. Messages to Young People, 251. Carefully consider Jesus' lessons about prayer. Christ's lessons in regard to prayer should be carefully considered. There is a divine science in prayer, and his illustration brings to view principles that all need to understand. He shows what is the true spirit of prayer. He teaches the necessity of perseverance in presenting our requests to God, and assures us of his willingness to hear and answer prayer. Christ's Object Lessons, 142.